Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
I'm going to be in the book of John, which is the fourth book in the New Testament, and we're going to be in chapter 20. John 20. If you're new to the Bible, by the way, if you find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are great books to start reading in because those are basically the stories of Jesus. So John chapter 20, real easy opening thought, and I think that you'll agree, we like to get the scoop on someone after they have had a big life event. Like, for example, this afternoon, we're doing a family Easter thing, and my son and his wife just recently won a trip to Florida where they had a free condo on the beach, they had free airline flights, and free rental car. What's wrong with your life? So they got all this for free. They got to go down and sail a boat. Anyway, there's a picture of my son and his wife. So anyway, I have not talked to them since they've gotten back from this vacation thing last week. I can't wait to, this afternoon, just sit and go, tell me about what was it, right? So we like to get the scoop after big life events. If you have a friend who gets engaged, right, and she gets the ring, what do you do the first time you see her or you hear about, right, if she was in the church atrium or someplace? We run over and go, ha, 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 and, right, tell us the story. How did he, does that make sense? Maybe you don't go, ha, 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 but you do something because you want the scoop on what's going on. Whether that's a really great thing happening in life, we will still do that often with difficult things. If your friend has a surgery, goes through a difficulty, we tend to want to go over and go, how's it going? What's happening? How you feeling? Because we're interested in those things. Let's talk about Easter. Can we admit that what Jesus went through for the 3 days is a pretty big life event, pretty big deal? Like, I was even wondering, has anyone gone through more variety of things in a 3-day period than what Jesus did, right? When he was betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends, beaten ruthlessly multiple times, he endured arguably the worst execution style ever created by evil mankind. He spent 3 days in the grave. So his body's dead, but his spirit is, if you read, do some theology, is confronting the devil, doing that for 3 days. What's that? And then 3 days on then Easter morning, the life of God comes back into his body. He wakes up. He's in a pitch black tomb, gets his way out of that. So who wants to talk to that guy? And just go, can you, whatever you say at this point, I'm listening. So that's how we're framing the talk today, because we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples the evening of the resurrection. So the background for the text is everything I just said, plus he rose from the grave, and that evening, this is the first significant conversation that he has with his disciples. John 20:19. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now that makes sense because the Jewish leaders were the ones responsible for just killing Jesus. So they're afraid. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's just really a short story. Let's read it again. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The title of the talk is Easter, Jesus Post-Resurrection Thoughts. I think there's some practical things that we can either be reminded of about who Jesus is and his heart. Maybe some of this stuff will be new for us, but let's pray and then we'll explore it. God, I got some things that I think you want me to say, but mostly we need to hear from you as usual. So we invite you to be the teacher by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Two ideas from the text. The first one is this. The post-resurrection Jesus is still promoting peace. He's still promoting peace. Verse 19 says, he came and stood among them and said, this is the first words out of his mouth, peace be with you. Now, my first thought is, well, maybe this is just a nice greeting, you know, like, hey, peace be with you guys. But the thing that strikes me about this text is that he doesn't just say it once, which is actually kind of unusual. He says it twice. He says, peace be with you. And then he shows him hands, side. And then here it is. He says, it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. So in my mind, I wonder, why the repetition? Because that's unique. Most of the time, if an angel shows up or if God shows up, they just say, peace be with you. Or they might say, do not be afraid, right? But then they go on. But Jesus circles back and he says it again. So here's two theories. Why did he say it twice? Well, the first one is, well, maybe they needed to hear it because they'd had a pretty huge weekend as well, right? They denied Jesus. They'd watched him die. Then that morning they had heard about, wait, empty tomb. So maybe, oh, by the way, and one more thing. The doors were locked here, and somehow Jesus just manifested in their presence, which is a new Jesus trick. They'd seen a lot of stuff, but when Jesus, you know, maybe they were still just a little stunned going, excuse me, Jesus, what just happened? And he would say, well, now I can do that. I don't know what he wouldn't have said that. But so maybe he said, peace be with you. And he started to talk. And then he realized they were still just going. And he said, okay, peace be with you. Or maybe that was it. But I think there's another thing here, because he says, peace be with you, after he shows them hand and side. And here's the idea, and then we'll unpack it. Jesus was announcing peace at a new level. That's why he repeated it. Hang in there. I hope this makes sense. He's announcing peace at a new level. Before the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus would talk about the coming kingdom. He would talk about the forgiveness of sin. But so much of it was future. Here's what's gonna be happening. But now, post-resurrection, we're not talking about some future thing. We're talking about now we have won the battle. I was talking about raising from the dead. Does that make sense? And there's more peace after, when something actually comes into fruition, than just talking about it into the future. I'm not sure if this is connecting. A couple of bad illustrations. Again, welcome to church. NCAA tournament. Anybody ever heard about that? Yeah, okay. If you haven't, what's wrong with you? No, all right, so it's this whole March Madness thing going on. So there's a big difference between watching even the prediction of your team's going to win or watching a game where your team is ahead. I did this the other night. I thought, oh, I would like for this team to win. And they were ahead coming all the way. And by all accounts, it would look like, I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win. There's a different amount of peace when the buzzer finally goes off. Game over. We actually won. Does that make sense? Another bad illustration. Family picnic. A bumblebee comes and starts buzzing around all the stuff in the food. So what happens? A percentage of the family freaks out, right? There's a bee. And likely there'll be someone, and they will be saying, calm down. It's okay. Don't panic. But the level of peace is different when dad grabs someone's flip-flop and beats the crap out of the bee. Does that make sense? Then he says, calm. Oh, okay. Pass the chips. Does that make sense? When it's over, there's a different level of peace. Now, what's happened here with the gospel and the death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection. Listen, this is, I don't know that very many people, preachers, will say this weekend. But this is like God taking off his almighty flip-flop and beating the crap out of the devil and saying we win. Does that, like it's, God does not wear flip-flops. Lord, I know you, I don't know, maybe you do. But does that make sense? And so here's what I think is happening in the text, why Jesus says, peace be with you, which he said multiple times, different time. And then he says, no, I'm interpreting this as peace be with you. Things are different. Because things are different after the resurrection. I don't know if we did this fill in the blank. Jesus was announcing peace. Yeah, we did that. Peace at a new level. John 19:30, when Jesus is on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. Just some encouragements if you are a Christian, you're following Jesus. If you're just exploring Jesus, you might get this or it may not stick as much. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you're not going to someday be forgiven. You're forgiven right now. You're forgiven for what you did. You're forgiven for what you know, next week when you do that. Hopefully you don't do that stupid thing next week. But like when you do that, the forgiveness of God came when Jesus died and rose from the grave. You are forgiven. Peace be with you. You're not going to someday be a real son or daughter of God. You are right now. Not because of your good deeds, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. I think if Jesus were here now, it's very likely that he might say to some of us a second time, peace be with you. And then he would know your heart and he would go, whoa, 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 whoa. Seriously, peace be with you. So it brings a question for us. Am I living in God's peace? Just a question on the screen. I know it's not easy because we live in a world that tends to kind of be or sometimes even promote anxiety. Don't we live in a world where, you know, it's like, oh, you should be scared of this and oh, you should look out for that. And there's typically, aren't there a lot of things we could be worried about, right? Could Biden be president again? Or what about this? Will Trump be president again? See, you know, right now, everybody in the whole room became anxious because one of those two is a nightmare, right? For you, or you know how that works. I don't know which one you are, but does that make sense? Like, and there's this, and I think, by the way, there are legitimate concerns in our world. These disciples have legitimate concerns. Right? There's people who are angry. There's some of that stuff. But God is above that. And he says, even in the midst of that, he says, no. Peace be with you. Don't be too anxious about that. I will take care of this stuff. Am I living in God's peace? Here's a tip for you as we finish up this point. If you are living or begin to get more anxious, worry about stuff, get in a room with Jesus. with Jesus because his practice is to promote peace. And I don't know what that looks like for you getting in a room. Maybe that's sitting with your Bible. Maybe that's starting to read your Bible. Maybe that's becoming a member of the church, starting to come all the time. It's learning to pray. By the way, this three-day class that we just talked about, getting to know the life of Jesus, that might be a great place to just get in a room, kind of get in a room with Jesus. And I have yet to be and take time with God where he told me you should be afraid of what's going on in the world. It's just not his life. Now, does that not mean there's some things we need to do? But this anxiety and fear thing, God is a God who comes and says, okay, peace. Still promoting peace. Second idea is the post-resurrection Jesus is noticeably personal. Noticeably personal. I'm getting this in verse 19 after he says, peace be with you, with this idea of he shows them his hands, and the big thing that really strikes me is his hands and his side. So I'm good with the hands thing. Like, he has holes in his hands, and so part of this is to prove his resurrection. No, I'm the same guy that you saw die on the cross. But you know when it feels awfully personal to me when he would say, oh, I'm going to pick up my shirt and I'm going to show you. Does that feel personal? It doesn't? Let me make it a little more personal. Just pretend. So I have a little scar right here on my chest from when I was a kid and I had an accident. How many of you want to see it? If you do, you're weird. Because, right? Like, if I was like, oh, let me show you. It would, like, the cringe factor would be like, what the heck? Get out of this church. Because does that make sense? Does that, because, what? Who did, because, no, we just, so Jesus in the text, he's like, no, I'll show you the one on my, here is the strangest things, one of the strangest things I've put on the screen since here at the Vineyard. Here's coming up on the screen. Belly scars are only for our closest friends. You don't show belly scars to only your, does that make sense? But Jesus is here going, no. So who does that? Oh, by the way, it's not the only time he does it. A week later, he comes into another room with almost all the same disciples except for one. His name is Thomas. And Thomas says something in response to this. He says, I won't believe he's alive unless I get to put my finger in his side. And he says this thing. So anyway, Jesus shows up a week later. Let's look at that text in John 20. It says the doors were locked. By the way, there are similarities. We have a faithful God, a consistent God. Jesus came, stood among them, and said, look what he says. Peace be with you. And then he says to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Who does that? Who says that? Well, I would submit to you, Jesus says that because he has no barrier. He doesn't want any barriers between us and him. He is vulnerable. I just can't believe, if you really think about it, you're like, wow. Well, you only would offer that to your closest, 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 closest friend ever. Would you say, no, it's okay, you can put your hand in my side. So here's the fill in the blank. With our risen Lord, nothing is off limits. Nothing. Jesus did not come and die, go through all that, live a perfect life, suffer the way he did, endure the 3 days of death, rise from the grave so that we could just stay a comfortable distance away from him. It's not what he did. So here's a question. Am I taking advantage of Jesus' openness? Don't keep God at a comfortable distance. Don't do it. We need him close. In Hebrews 4:15, I just want to interject a verse. It says, we do not have a high priest, that's a reference to Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness. Jesus has scars, right? You know what else? He knows about our scars, our pains. Most of us have them. Aside, there's some difference between the pain, the scars, the junk that we have compared to what Jesus had. Jesus didn't deserve any of them, okay? That came from the ugliness of the world. Jesus did nothing ever to deserve the pain that he went through. Now, on the other hand, we've got some stuff in our life. Some of the pain or scars that we have, they were caused by other people, but some of them were our own stupid fault or our own sinful fault. Amen? Do we need to talk about that? Like, some of it's on us. But here's the amazing thing about the risen Savior. Whether it was inflicted by somebody else, whether it was our own sinfulness or stupidity, I would like to think that some of this Jesus saying, here are my scars, is in hopes that we would go, I got some of those. So that Jesus could say, I know. And our Father has the power to raise, resurrect some of the worst things we've ever been through, bring healing, bring it out of the grave, bring it into the open, and help life come back. Does that make sense? Is that making it? That's who God is. Doesn't matter. And just to emphasize, it doesn't matter whether it was a self-inflicted wound or somebody else. God's heart, plan, power, will is to resurrect things. So here's a question. Are we showing Jesus our scars? We should. Just one other important note, and we'll do a fill in the blank and we'll be done. This is an exhortation. Don't let trauma drive you away from God. Let it drive you toward God. Don't let trauma drive you away from God. Let it drive you toward God. There's a temptation there to like get mad at God. I'll tell you what gives us pain in our life. It's the sinfulness of mankind. It's the sinfulness of us. And it's this broken world. What brings us hope is getting in touch with the unbroken God. One of the great things about the testimonies this morning is they share some of the mess ups and the things that they were doing wrong. But how do they get healing? They don't get healing by running away from God or blaming God. They get healing and help by coming to Him. Last fill in the blank. Bring your scars to Jesus. Let God resurrect them. Why don't you stand and we'll pray. Father, I thank you for these reminders of how wonderful you are. This, like the talk today, was so much about how personal, powerful, and wonderful you are. A lot of us knew that already. For some of it, it might be really new and fresh. But we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you're alive and willing and that you desire to be in this personal relationship with us. And I just pray a blessing on everybody here today. Lord, will you walk with us through our day? And we hope that our church time today has been pleasing to you because you sure deserve worship and prayer and praise and attention because you're amazing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. By the way.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.